Jaquel, that was an incredibly professional introduction.
Thank you. I was just thinking that
Hello.
As I said it.
My name is Jaquel, and I'm here on NPR Radio.
Whoa. I couldn't. My voice is not that legit.
You sounded pretty legit.
Thank you. Well, yeah. I do have a business voice that I need for, you know, important phone calls or interviews.
It doesn't sound like your normal squatchy, scracky.
That is incredibly offensive and hurtful. And
no, you
don't.
You have a great voice, Jaquel.
Thanks, Dad.
I was just talking to somebody on Sunday about Vody. I try not to envy Vody's voice. But the one thing that this church member mentioned to me is that she has to stay close to the audio source because he's not that loud.
Oh.
He doesn't project that well. Oh. And she's like, but I never have a problem hearing you.
Well, there we go.
See?
You may not have
a very
great, smooth voice, but you can talk loud.
You know, whenever I feel a little jelly of like Vody, I just go and listen to Steve Lawson for a while.
Steve Lawson's
a great preacher, but man, like, yeah, I mean, I'm no Vody, but I'm no Steve Lawson either.
Well, as we learned last week, Dad, you don't need to be a great, preacher to have great things to say and to be used by the Lord.
Yeah. So, Jaquel, quick question for you.
quick question.
Quick question for you. How was your birthday dinner?
You know what? I can't say. I really can't. I'm optimistic that it was good.
You're optimistic, but you haven't eaten it yet.
It's not
coming soon.
It is coming.
Yeah.
Coming soon. And Jaquel's birthday.
You're
dinner.
Excited. We're not having ramen.
Oh, I'm pumped.
Grateful that we're not having ramen. I am making something also that I have never made before.
Yeah.
I am making I'm cooking an animal that I have never cooked before.
That sounds weird, but yeah.
Well, what would you call it, Jaquel?
Meat?
Yeah. But where does meat come from, Jaquel?
It comes from an animal. I know.
Okay.
It's true. But I'm just saying that anyways.
So, Mary had a little one of these.
Oh, my goodness.
and I am cooking one, but it's not Mary's. It's,
no.
It's ours.
And we're not thinking about the fact that it's...
Why not?
Because.
You have a problem with the fact that your hamburger mooed at one time?
No, because cows aren't cute. But lambs are.
I think cows are pretty cute.
Really?
I think they're more delicious than cute, but you know.
Anyways, yes, you are making me lamb for my birthday.
Greek lamb.
Not Canadian lamb.
Lemon potatoes, Greek lamb, Greek rice. I got to look into how to make Greek rice.
And then you're going
to
make Greek salad?
Actually.
Actually.
Your grandmother-in-law?
Oh,
no, your grandmother?
She's going to bring
me the Greek salad.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. She makes a great Greek salad.
She's all about the Greek salad. I'm like, hey, you know, she better carry her weight. Bring me some Greek salad,
That's
girl.
That's
right. So I hit her up on Sunday and I said, hey, are you coming for dinner on Sunday? I said, then you bring the Greek salad, girl.
And she would be my step-grandmother, not my
grandmother-in-law. Oh, there you go. I don't even know. It's hard to know. Yeah, your step-grandmother.
Yeah.
But you can just call her your grandmother.
I
don't know what I'm thinking. But anyway,
I can't wait.
And you know your mom's making.
Oh,
yeah,
she's
bringing the dessert.
Yeah.
And she makes a killer cheesecake.
The best cheesecake there is.
And we have it on every birthday, but for some reason... Travis on his birthday said, I don't want any cheesecake. And we all cried for hours.
I know. Joe was like, do you think maybe your mom would make one for us anyways? It's like, no, it was for Travis's birthday if he doesn't want it. It's like, you just have to wait a few weeks until my birthday.
Oh, yeah. We don't mess around.
No.
We eat that cheesecake.
Love
we
that cheesecake.
Eat it up. Nom, nom, nom.
That's what I would say to Lucy. Nom, 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 nom.
So we don't know how your birthday dinner is, but what's for dinner tonight? That's what I'm interested in.
Well, as you know, but our listeners do not know.
As you know.
We're getting ready to sell our house, which is a long story.
What?
We're not moving anywhere different. We're just planning to move into an apartment.
Well,
that was the first thing I told Lynette. I was like, so we're selling our house. She's like, where are you moving? Where are you going? It's like, we're just somewhere.
Someone who just sold her house.
I know.
And she's giving you heck.
Well.
What's that about?
Well, I mean, they were clearly, they were living in a little house and needed to move to a bigger house. And we haven't outgrown our house yet. I don't need to get into this whole thing.
It's going to happen, though, eventually.
It is. And we're trying to be strategic and the market is crazy. And so we're going to move into an apartment for a couple years and then buy. Again, but
bye.
I had to give context for this because it would make no sense for me to say that a realtor is coming to our house tonight.
So we
might just do takeout tonight.
Oh, takeout. Like, wow. Like that sounds really like, oh, we're going to do takeout. You mean you're going to go through the drive through or
no, we might get something like delivered to our house because great advantage of living in the city, Dad, that you don't even know yet is free delivery.
I do not care. I like living outside of the city.
Well,
I don't
want to
be living
will.
Amongst them city people.
See, we love
those,
living in the city.
Those city city people.
And we don't even live like in a great part of the city or anything, but it's just so nice to be like 2 minutes from the grocery store.
Chiquelle, have I taught you nothing? Us, we are country folk.
No.
We're not city folk. We're country folk.
My husband originally would love to be a country person, but a country man,
well,
I guess.
Well, he married into our family, so he can be a country folk.
No. I converted him to being a city lover.
No, come back to us.
Well, man, like when we stayed in like downtown Quebec City for our honeymoon, we were like, man, this is so fun. He loved New York City when we went there.
Is
we
want to
go
though?
Back. Yeah.
You really want to go back to there? No.
Yeah, it's so fun. You really need to go to Quebec sometime. I think you'll like it.
I wouldn't
so
mind
much.
Going to Quebec. I don't want to go back to New York. I mean, once was more than enough.
But man, we're all over the place. But for being a foodie.
All over the place.
Being a foodie.
Come back to me, Jaquel.
Quebec is the place to be.
Okay.
And for mom, the croissants, and you need to go to that crazy cool restaurant that Joe and I went to that was the spinning restaurant.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Why not?
But it's nice chatting with you.
I mean, we are in the middle of a global pandemic at the moment, but post-pandemic.
Are we though? Was it even really a pandemic?
Who knows what's going to happen with that second wave.
We had a very short conversation about this at dinner the other day, and it got very short because, well, there was some disagreement.
Well, so. I didn't. Not with us.
You weren't there, Chiquelle.
Oh,
you weren't there.
Well, I didn't know if you were talking to the
You don't eat dinner at this house. No,
it was at dinner. I was like, we didn't.
It was at dinner in this house.
Oh, okay.
And somebody mentioned the pandemic, and I said, was it a pandemic really though? And things got a little out of control.
Out of control. Wow. Well,
you know how it goes.
I mean,
people have very strong opinions
and
about
very
this.
Different opinions.
Not people in particular, besides me, but you know,
don't have a strong opinion at all.
It's a mildly polarizing issue, Jaquelle. Things to do with this virus. Polarizing.
You know, if people want to know what we think about this podcast, we've done what, two,
think about
three?
This podcast?
No, sorry, what we think of
about this virus.
Oh, the virus.
I think it's time for another episode though.
Maybe.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I really it might be time to think about how we should feel, how we should respond.
Feel.
Yeah, how we should
how
feel,
Jaquelle. How do you feel?
How we should think
about COVID?
Well, I feel
no,
based
I don't
upon how I think.
Know. I don't actually.
No,
know.
You really don't.
Because
I
already
do
know.
But it might be worth doing another COVID episode.
Maybe we'll see.
It could be time.
Pretty sick of talking about it.
But. Oh, are you really though? Like, do
am
you
I really though? Is that it?
Seriously.
Is it really though?
Do you sit down with somebody that you haven't visited for a while and not mention COVID
no.
or masks?
And that's why I'm sick of talking about it. Because I talk about it with everybody all the time.
I don't know. Monkey Man would be like to talk about
no,
it.
No, we don't need another
yes.
little toy.
Monkey Man always. We always need Monkey Man. But let's not talk about it now. Let's talk instead about missions.
Yes. Okay. Last week we had like a very serious intro. This week we're back to our blibber blabber.
Back to the jibber jabber. Monkey down. Monkey
fell.
Down.
Maybe you shouldn't have placed him so precariously on the mic stand.
It's jibber jabber, Jaquel. We decided it's jibber jabber.
All right.
So today was the crazy jibber jabber again because people last week they'd be like crying in their coffee because we're not. We didn't jibber jabber.
I'm sure.
We talked postpartum depression.
I know.
And we talked. What was the other? We talked
books
other serious.
About pregnancy.
Yeah. Other
research,
serious things.
Grandparenting books.
Miscellaneous serious things.
So what are we talking about today?
We're back on missions.
We're back on mission.
We're back on mission
about missions.
And I think are we doing more episodes?
Yeah, we're gonna do one more.
Oh,
we're gonna do one more. After
are
this.
You serious?
I'm serious.
I'm excited
guys.
Now.
Oh,
I
wow.
thought we were just doing the two.
No. We're gonna do one more.
Okay, so if you want to, I'm not gonna give the whole recap about what we talked about missions.
Who
but,
has time for that?
But go back and listen two episodes ago if you haven't yet. Our episode on missions gave a very general overview on missions. I thought was really helpful. Jaquelle came up with this great idea that it would be helpful to actually talk about some missionaries.
That's right.
After some conversation between her and I also thought it was helpful.
it took a little while, guys, but I got him on board.
As we mentioned last week, it wasn't that I didn't think it was helpful. I just didn't think about it.
But then teamwork made the dream work.
Really? So Jaquelle says, I'm just ignoring that. Jaquelle says, let's do some episode on some missionaries. And I'm like, but who? Yeah. And she's like, have I got the missionaries for you? I know. It didn't go exactly like this. I'm what's a word?
Sounded like Veggie Tales.
Wow. Okay. I'm embellishing a bit, okay?
Okay.
Let's just get this out there right there.
I got some missionaries for you. Just wait.
I'm embellishing a bit. Jaquelle didn't actually say that. But it went something like that. So last week we talked about the man, your man, my man, Bill Carey.
Oh my goodness. man, the myth, the legend.
No, somehow I cannot see anybody calling him Bill.
No, he was a William.
Billy? I couldn't see him being Billy. Willie? No, it was William Carey. Yeah. It was Mr. Carey to you. That's all I got to say. I kind of feel bad even calling, like, referring to him as Bill. I'm sure if saints look down from heaven, which I don't think they do, but if they did, I mean, he'd be looking down, just shaking his head, going, "Oh, Shawnee," and
yeah,
I'd be like,
"He would call you Shawnee."
I'd be like, "Don't call me Shawnee," and he's like, "I'm William Carey. I can call you whatever I want."
Okay, this is getting off the rails.
All right, we're having a good time here. So
today, we're not talking about William Carey today.
No. Today we're talking about Jim Elliot.
Yeah, speaking of nicknames.
I couldn't even think of it. I mean, this guy, whoa.
No, but here's the thing. So William Carey, nobody's calling him anything except William. Jim Elliot. That's not even his real name. His name was Philip. He was born Philip James Elliot.
But this is a guy
you can call Jim.
What? Hold on. What are you telling me? Why is that in the notes?
No, it's not in the notes.
I never saw that in the notes. What are you talking about? His name was Philip?
Yeah.
Yep. And he's like, "Oh, but just call me Jim for short."
I think his parents might have done that, which I think you of all people could relate to, Eric.
Sean. But was his middle name Philip?
No, his middle name was James. His name was Philip James Elliot. So they decided to call him James.
I thought his name was Philip Elliot. They're like, "We'll just call you Jim." I didn't know James was his middle name.
No, I said his name was Philip James Elliot.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Oh my goodness.
I just heard you say his name was Philip, and I'm like, what? I was getting the monkey. The monkey fell. Oh, so I was getting the monkey, and I thought his name was Philip, and I'm like,
recording a podcast.
Jim
here
is not short for Philip.
Maybe you could choose to pay attention moving forward.
Oh, monkey down again.
Okay, just leave the monkey.
I need to get the monkey. You start your little thing.
So Philip James Elliot.
Start your little talky talk here. Go.
Thank
now.
You.
Here. Yeah.
Jim Elliot was born in Portland, Oregon, exactly 70 years before one of my best friends.
What?
On October 8th, 1927. Yeah, one of my best friends was born October 8th, 1997.
I was born October 13th, 1971.
Okay, thank you. We don't just need to share birthdays. Jim Elliot.
You were like, "There's this birthday." I thought, okay, we're just talking about birthdays. I thought, what's going on here, y'all?
Okay. So he was born in Portland, Oregon, which. No, I have nothing to say about Portland, Oregon at the moment.
Please say nothing about Portland, Oregon. Man, if you live in Portland, Oregon, I am sorry. I mean that with all sincerity.
Not saying anything about Portland, Oregon.
I said something.
Do you have something
things
to say about Portland, Maine?
Things are nuts in Portland,
You're allowed
Oregon.
To say something about Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine is great. I like Portland.
Great. Okay, so he was born to devoted Christian parents.
Oh, sorry. Carry on.
Okay. Yep. It's time to get serious as you take pictures of a bunny and a monkey. So he was born to devoted Christian parents. He taught him the gospel early on, and he was saved as a little kid. And always from the time that he was a child, he was very eager to share the gospel with others. And same as like from childhood, he knew that he wanted to pursue missions when he grew up, which I don't know that much about his parents, but...
Yeah,
props to his parents.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wonder how that did come about. I mean, we don't know, but...
So as he grew up, like I said, like from a very young age, he was like, wanted to pursue missions. So
I wonder what his church, his early church life was like.
Yeah, I don't know. But he was clearly discipled well.
You would think.
So then in high school, another thing interesting about Jim Elliot in high school, this was a guy who had like a lot going for him. Mm. He could have pursued a lot of different careers. So he was known as being like, he was pretty good looking. He was a super good public speaker. He was an amazing actor, which I didn't know until preparing for this episode. So much so that multiple teachers told him he should pursue a career in acting.
Praise the Lord he didn't.
No. He was part of the wrestling team.
He did that wrestling?
Part of the school newspaper. Yikes. He was a busy guy.
Was he like one of those wrestlers that wear the masks on his head? Like the... Luchador wrestlers?
I don't think so.
no, he definitely
especially
wasn't.
Especially since this was like the 40s in Oregon.
I'm just yanking your change, Gil.
Oh, well, I just thought you were dead serious.
I just got to keep you on your toes.
Anyway, so in high school, he still was like very missions-minded, which I think is something cool, and we can talk more about this later. But here he is, a teenager. Mm. He knows he wants to pursue like global missions. He wants to go.
Yeah.
But he is focused on being faithful where he is right now. And so he always carried this little Bible with him. He was known to quote scripture to others. He was very quick to do that. And he shared Jesus with others, you know, as a teenager in high school. He wasn't like, you know what? I'm waiting. Yeah. I'm waiting to go. No, I'm going to steward this time right now.
And you know what? This is a good time to just kind of mention, like I referred to our initial episode on missions. And in that episode, we talked about the fact that, you know, when we talk about missions, we're talking about going. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about, and not everybody goes, but we're talking about actually those who get up from where they are and go somewhere to take the gospel to, wherever that might be. Mm-hmm. But what I like about Jim Elliot is that before he went, he realized that he was still on mission where he was.
Right.
And that's kind of something else we talked about, the fact that we all are, if you're a Christian, that we're all part of this mission to make disciples. And so if you want to go and you're thinking about going, you ought to be thinking about how you're going to be part of the mission here where you are until you do go.
Exactly. And I think it can be tempting for us to sort of glamorize world missions and be like, oh, if I go somewhere, it's going to be easy to share the gospel.
Yeah.
That's when I'm gonna go evangelize. I'm going to, you know, make connections with people.
Right.
But here, you know, it's too hard and weird here. But if you're not doing it here.
Yeah, ain't gonna do it there.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
So all as part of his life plan, Jim decided to go to college.
Jim, or as his friends knew him, Philip. No, that's not true. His friends knew him as Jim. I still can't get over that. I share something in common with this guy.
You do.
Because I also have a family that called me by decided to call me by my middle name. I'm
right.
Why?
Right.
I mean,
right.
So I really identify with
there you go.
Jim now, or yes. Philip, as I yes. would to prefer to call him.
Yeah, okay.
Carry on.
Anyways, Jim decides to go to Wheaton College to prepare for missions, all with the plan, you know, he's going to study and then he's going to go. So in 1945, he's accepted to Wheaton College. In 1947, you know, in college, he goes on a short-term missions trip to Mexico, which actually partly influences his decision of where to go for missions later on, which he ends up going to Central America.
Fun fact, Raquel, did you know that I went on a short-term missions trip to Mexico?
Wow. Did the similarities between you and Jim Elliot
end? I'm just saying, did you know that?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's one of those facts that it's like, if you had been like, I couldn't have pulled it out of my head. But now that you say it, it sounds familiar.
Way back when I was a teenager. Crazy, man.
Just like Jim Elliot.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So at Wheaton, Jim hit a little snag in his plan. So Jim all along had planned he was going to be single for the rest of his life. He was going to just go, like, devote his whole life to missions. He was happy being single. He thought that he would be able to do missions more effectively if he was not married. But then he met Elizabeth.
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 What was her middle name?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
So one thing that he immediately knew about Elizabeth is
Lizzie, as her friends probably called her.
No. Is that she was also extremely passionate about missions.
Oh.
So that was why she was there.
That worked in his favor.
Yeah, they made a connection. So Jim liked Elizabeth, and they would go, like, it's so, like, sweet. They would, like, go and evangelize together and stuff while in college. But Jim just, like, didn't know. He didn't know if he should pursue a relationship with her.
Well, in light of what he wanted to do with his life, that's a pretty wise decision to be careful and thoughtful through that, because as we learned from William Carey, I mean, think about what might have happened if he hadn't gotten married.
Right.
So
Jim decides he's going to wait 5 years and he's going to devote his life to missions as a single man for 5 years. And he's going to, you know, he's going to pray. He's going to talk to people. He's going to really think seriously about whether it would be wise for him to pursue a relationship, which, you know, Elizabeth, that's a committed lady. Mm-hmm. Because he's not like, you know, it's not like just he's going to decide if he wants to pursue a relationship with anybody. It's all and only about Elizabeth. He's trying to decide if he should, you know, pursue marrying her. And so Elizabeth very patiently agrees to just wait. And so they sort of like keep in touch during this time, but they're like, they're not dating. They're not doing anything. So in this 5 years, Jim starts to just prepare for mission work as much as he can. He studies linguistics to prepare to translate the Bible. And during that time, while he's studying linguistics, he actually works with this missionary from Ecuador who is working with the Quechua Indians, I believe that's how you pronounce that. This missionary tells Jim about this other tribe close to them called the the Aucas?
Aucas. Okay. Yeah, I think I would pronounce it Auca.
Okay. The Auca tribe. And this is an unreached group that is considered very violent, very dangerous. They are known for being quick to just kill people, even members of their own tribe, with little to no reason.
They're savages, essentially.
Yeah. And Jim... This is crazy. Jim felt drawn to these people, and he felt convinced that they needed the gospel.
Well, and I mean, they did.
They absolutely.
Right? I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, that's no small issue right there. Because, I mean, you might say, well, why would he feel drawn to them? Does anybody need the gospel more than a bunch of savages who are known for violence?
Yeah. So because of this, he was really thinking about these people, but he hadn't decided, you know, where in the world to go. His hero.
Where in the world?
His missionary hero was Amy Carmichael, who went to India. And so he was torn between India and had been thinking a lot about Ecuador. And the decision was kind of made for him when this missionary who worked in Ecuador, he and his wife were in a plane crash, actually. And so they asked him to come and serve with them and help. And so he said, you got it. I'm coming.
And this is, I mean, this is very much a throwback to our initial episode on missions and deciding where to go.
Right.
I mean, look at Jim Elliot and the way it worked out. It was just like, you know, well, where he could have gone either place. Yeah. Would it have been wrong for him to go to India? Of course not.
No.
But it just turned out that he ended up going to Ecuador. So in 1952, he travels to Ecuador for the first time and he goes with another single fellow named Pete Fleming. I wonder if that was his first name or his middle name. I don't know. But anyway, he travels with Pete Fleming. And at the same time, he starts a courtship with Elizabeth.
Yes,
hey,
so,
Jim.
So spoiler alert.
Nice work on the courtship,
he
Jim.
He gets to the end of 5 years and he's like, you know what? I like her. She is going to, you know, together, I think we can serve the Lord.
Right.
We can do this. She's going to come with me to Ecuador. So they start a courtship. And then in 1953, they end up getting married and she comes with him to Ecuador.
Now, when they get there, he meets Nate Saint. Plenty of you, I'm sure, have heard of Nate Saint. And he begins to learn more about the Auca. The Aucas? I think you'd call them the Aucas.
Yeah.
So they lived in the jungle, the Aucas. They hadn't been reached by anyone yet. They're, as Jaquel mentioned, they're unreached, which is a good reminder. If you have the Prayer App, there's, I looked it up just because I never look at the title of it, but I mentioned it in a previous episode. I think it's called Operation World. It's kind of outdated, but it does talk about unreached people groups, and it is important to be praying for unreached people groups. I think the Joshua Project, another group that talks about may be following the persecuted church, but it is important to pray for unreached people groups. And the Aucas were a unreached people group. But Jim, he becomes passionate about reaching the Aucas once he learns about them and once he travels to Ecuador. So no one knows where their village was. So he pulls together a team and they start looking. And they call themselves, you'll never guess it, Jaquel.
What did they call themselves?
Operation Auca.
I love it.
I mean, it's not the most creative name, but hey.
But it gets, hey, it's clear, communicates exactly what they're doing.
Sure. And so that team was Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Pete Fleming, and Roger Udernian? and their wives. I don't know the pronunciation on that one.
Yes, so, but fun fact, like all of them were married. Some of them had kids.
Oh, all, okay.
Every single one of them
All of them were married. Okay. So Nate is the pilot. This is crazy. Can you just imagine being there? He's a pilot, and they would basically just fly over the jungle looking for thatched roofs.
Right. They had no idea where this village was.
No. They just heard of these people, and they've got to... I mean, not only do they... I mean, you think of some people, they decide to go somewhere, so they just get on a plane, they go there. And these guys, they got to fly a plane to find these people.
Right. And then it's crazy when they actually find them where they are.
Yeah. So they finally spot them, and it turns out that they're only a few minutes from their current missionary base.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it kind of stands to reason if they were looking for them from a plane. So they begin to make flights over this area. They don't just go running into this area and everybody.
And this is where I just want to say, some people are like, you know, these guys are crazy for wanting to minister to this tribe that is known for killing people. But these men were not dumb. They sought to be smart. And so they were like, you know what? We're going to start with this. We're just going to start with seeking to show them that we're friendly.
Yeah. So they take these flights. And they drop gifts down into the village. I'd be curious to know what kind of gifts. I don't know.
Yeah, I, I, I think like some toys, some food, different treats and stuff.
They then begin to prepare supplies so they could build a treehouse and set up a camp even closer to the Aucas. So for 3 months, so they weren't, again, they were not rushing things, which is incredibly wise. 3 months, they would fly in and they would take turns yelling welcoming phrases to the Aucas across the river.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of phrases those were, but, you know, they begin by dropping gifts and then they attempt to communicate with them verbally. It was on January 6th, 1956, that some of the Aucas came out and approached them. So this thoughtful process, this cool-headed method that they took their time with, they were patient, and finally some of the Aucas came out. So the missionaries, they welcomed them into their camp, showed them gifts that they had brought, and Nate even gave an Auca man a ride in the airplane. Mm-hmm. I mean, which would have been... These are savages living in the jungle.
Right.
But they go up on an airplane.
But this would have been like, man, like so exciting for these missionaries. Yeah. Like this first visit seems like it couldn't have gone better.
No. Now, unfortunately, what they didn't know is that the Aucas that they had met, they returned to their tribe and they lied about why the missionaries were there. Mm-hmm. So the missionaries, not knowing this, decide to go and see if the Aucas would invite them to their village.
Which, again, makes sense after how well it had seemed they had been received before.
It's Sunday, so what do you do on Sundays? As Christians, you have a worship service. So they decide to have a worship service on the beach by the river. And they begin to see a large movement in the bushes. And so one of the men radios his wife back in the mission base to explain what they saw and said that they hoped it was a welcoming party. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, we got great news. It looks like they're coming out. It looks like things are going very well. He had said he'll radio back a few hours later and tell them about how it went. And as I'm sure many of you know, he never did. Mm-hmm. So they go in, take a look, and they find all five missionaries dead with spears in their back. Mm-hmm. They were killed for the cause of Christ. Yeah. Like, this is, again, like, you know, he's got a very different story than William Carey, but there's also some serious similarities. Like, it seemed like things were going very well. Right. And if we just stopped at this point, it would seem like, wow, what was the point of all of that?
Right.
Five missionaries dead.
Yeah, and I mean, Jim Elliot, 29 years old. Like, and I mean, even hearing about his life and all the ambitions that people had for him, like, oh, he could have gone on to do great things. Yet what he did was the greatest thing he possibly could have done with his life.
And interestingly enough, it was where we see the impact that Jim Elliot had was really in what happens next.
Exactly. So lest you think his work was in vain, it certainly was not. So his wife, Elizabeth, as well as some of the other wives, actually chose to stay in Ecuador. Like, I know Elizabeth, like, her family begged her to come back. She had, she and Jim had a daughter, Valerie, so she had a young child with her. And after this happened, I mean, I think understandably her family was like, you need to come home. But Elizabeth, and this is where like Jim couldn't have chosen a better wife and partner in just his, you know, like desire to be faithful with missions, because Elizabeth said, no, these people still need the gospel and we're going to stay and we're going to continue this work.
It really does. I mean, if you did listen to the episode on William Carey, you do see the importance of, if you are married, it is a partnership.
Yeah.
Like, it's not to say that you both have to have the exact same level of excitement and passion about missions.
Right.
But when one of the partners is opposed and one of them is outrageously passionate, it's going to cause friction. Now, here we see the complete, like, we see in William Carey, we see the negative impact of when they're not on the same page. Here we see the positive impact of when they are.
Right. So some of the wives do go back to America, but Elizabeth stays, Nate Saint's wife stays, and they continue the work trying to reach this people, and eventually they do, and they're able to share the gospel with these people. 2 years after their husband's death, Elizabeth and Rachel Saint, Nate's wife, they actually move to this tribe's village, and they live with these people and they minister to them and they share the gospel with them, and they get to see this tribe turn to Christ and receive the gospel. And one of the first people converted, which is just crazy, was this man named Minke, who was the man who killed Nate Saint and Ed McCauley. Mm-hmm. And you know, Nate's wife, Rachel, you know, she got to be there to see that. And Elizabeth ended up going back to America after a couple years. But Rachel, she stayed with this tribe for the rest of her life until she died. She stayed with them for 39 years.
And it just goes to show, like, these individuals, I mean, even, you know, I think about the wives especially, they knew that this wasn't about them.
Right.
It wasn't about their husbands. This was about Christ.
Right.
And it's like, if they were going to have to stick it out to see Christ shared, they were not going to see their husbands die in vain. Right. Right? Like, it just wasn't going to happen.
And that very act is one of the formative things that these people saw. And they saw the... Yeah. Like, this thing that made no sense to them. Why would these women who they had killed their husbands, why would they stay and seek to show kindness to them? I mean, the greatest kindness of all, sharing the gospel with them even. Yeah. And so after receiving Christ, the tribe actually renamed itself Huarani.
Yeah.
Since Aka actually meant savage, and they did this to show the gospel change in their lives. And today, actually, a majority of this people, you know, still follow Christ. I know Nate Saint's son also ended up ministering to them for many years. And I mean, we kind of have to end the life story of Jim Elliot with his most famous quote of all time. And again, just think of this. This is a 29-year-old guy who did not know that he was going to die for Christ. And these words he wrote in his journal, and he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose."
I mean, you cannot listen to the story of Jim Elliott without being encouraged and
also really sad
and motivated to share the gospel wherever you are, whether you're a goer or a stayer.
Right.
Because when it comes to missions, we need people to go and we need people to stay.
Yeah.
We need the church. And if everybody goes, then what happens to the church where we are?
Right.
What happens to the gospel witness where we are right now?
Right.
So we need people to go and we need people to stay. But whether you go or whether you stay, you need to be a part of the mission. Mm. Now, when I think about Jim Elliott, there's two things I think of. The one thing is the obvious thing, and we'll get to that in a moment. But the thing that was not so obvious to me until we did the prep for this episode was the fact that missions requires preparation. And you really drew that out really well when you were talking about his early life, the preparation that he went through to become a missionary. It wasn't as just though, oh, I want to be a missionary, you jump on a plane and you go.
Right.
You know, it took all kinds of time. There was training needed. There was deciding where to go that was needed. There was linguistic studies needed. There was proclaiming the gospel where you are before you go that was needed.
Spiritual preparation.
Like, his early years were what prepared him for what he did.
Right.
You know, like, not just anybody was going to do what Jim Elliot did.
Right.
You know, so that's the kind of the thing that kind of stuck out to me that I hadn't really thought about. The thing that I think we can't miss when it comes to Jim Elliot is that missions requires sacrifice. Mm. And so, I mean, when we talked about William Carey, we talked about how that it requires, you know, ambition and hard work, which, I mean, we see that in Jim Elliot as well. But when it comes to Jim Elliot, we see that it requires sacrifice. And we don't just see that at the end when he made the ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That's primarily what makes me think of it. But we see that when he sacrificed things he could have, his own personal ambitions as a child, like with the things he could have done.
Right.
People are saying, you should go be an actor, and he could have made all kinds of money, and he could have, you know, gained all kinds of fame for different reasons.
Yeah.
And yet, no, he was willing to sacrifice that. Yeah. He thought about sacrificing marriage.
Yeah.
And then ultimately he ended up sacrificing his life. So it's like, if you're going to be a missionary, you need to be prepared to sacrifice. Yeah. If you're going to be a Christian, you need to be prepared to sacrifice. Jesus says that, you know, you need to count the cost.
And I do think Jim Elliot is just like of particular importance and help to study for young people who want to go into missions, because here was this guy who, like we said, prepared and invested as a young person. That's when he did the training ground or did the training. And it reminds me of this quote from Do Hard Things, where Brett and Alex say, like, the teen years are the training ground for the rest of your life. And it's like, this is when you are laying the foundation for whatever you will do. And if you want to pursue missions, now is the time to be, you know, just using this time well, you know, taking opportunities that the Lord provides, seeking to create opportunities, all of these things, and then, you know, going into it with eyes wide open that you are willing to sacrifice all for the cause of Christ.
You got it, girl.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So we got one more.
We got one more
coming up, and we're going to leave it a mystery who we're going to be talking about. Yes. But you will want to stay tuned. We'll have one more missionary to talk about, and it will be good for sure. So we hope these first two have been encouraging to you, and that you will look forward to one more. And as you look forward to one more, where can people find us, Jacob?
They can head over to our website, ageofminority.com, because we'll also throw some more resources on Jim and Elizabeth Elliott if you want to know more about their lives and stories.
Yeah.
You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Age of Minority. You can also...
Not TikTok.
No, it's not. No. Hey, you can also sign up for our email list, because guess what? I'm resurrecting it.
It's coming back,
folks.
Forgot
to mention last week. Yeah, we're bringing the email list back.
Bring it on back.
So you can sign up on our website, ageofminority.com. And then also, if you want to leave us an honest 5-star rating and review, you can head over to iTunes. Leave us that review, and you might get to hear your review reviewed by us. Okay, I'm done now. All right.
Until next week.
This has been Age of Minority.